Welcome to Accounting Influencers, the podcast for accounting leaders and influencers who want to know exactly what makes the good firms great and the great accountants world class. Let's get today's show started with your host and founder of the BD Academy, Rob Brown.
And welcome to the show, and I'm delighted to have with me today an old friend and executive job expert, Simon Gray. Simon, hello to you.
Good morning, Rob. How are you?
We're great. And just for the benefit of people listening, Simon, that may not have come across you, tell us a bit about your background and what you do now.
Okay, well, I trained as a chartered accountant many years ago now and went quite quickly into the recruitment industry. Spent 10 years in the recruitment industry, five of those running my own business, which I started in the recession. So quite tough times. But I left in 2013 to set up a business called Career Codex. And through Career Codex, I act as a strategic advisor to executives from across the world to help them with their executive job search. So if they're struggling to decide what it is they want, find the position they want, that's where I pop up.
Do you regret not doing the accountancy stuff anymore?
No, because I think the accountancy stuff was a great background. And one of the reasons I did that after my degree was because I knew if I got a professional accountancy qualification, which I did with ICAW, then that would stand me in good stead. In business, you know, finance is key, and an accounting qualification helps you understand finances, which are key to any sector or whatever it is you decide to do moving forward.
Very much so. How much have you seen the accountancy profession change over the years? Because you're still very much involved with it, aren't you?
Yeah, I do a few things with the accountancy profession. Many of my clients are CFOs or finance directors. I sit on the business committee in London with ICAW. I think the big change that I've seen over the years is the introduction of technology. I mean, when I was an auditor, I think I left in 2000, so 2-3 years before that, we would be having the audit boxes that we'd be carrying around. Now everything's done digitally. There's ways that you do your auditing using technology that were never invented in my day. So I think the advent of technology has really changed the accountancy profession for the better.
You're very much involved in moving accountants up and on. When you look at the accountant now, as opposed to the accountant, say, 10, 20 years ago, are they different animals or just evolved a little?
I think they have evolved, and I think they've had to evolve. One of the attractions for me going into accountancy was that they pitched the qualification as a general business qualification as opposed to totally numbers oriented. You know, if you looked at a traditional accountant 20, 25 years ago, it was probably more about the numbers. I think the accountancy profession at all levels, you know, the bigger companies, the medium size, and even the small organizations have had to move now into more of a strategic partnership, strategic business advisor type role, because the world of business is a lot more complicated. And I think business owners want their accountant to be more than the person that adds up the numbers and produces their financial accounts or management accounts. They want somebody that they can ask questions of who are business savvy. So yes, it's definitely evolved.
I'm seeing a lot of technically strong accountants, but the ones that can win business, build relationships, have those softer skills, they're a rare breed, aren't they?
I think they are a rare breed. And certainly in my day, what you would find certainly the business that I worked in, the people that ended up at management level in that organization tended to be the technically strong accountants because they were very good at their job. But of course, when you get to a manager or a partner level in an organization, it's absolutely critical that you go out there and win business. And I used to see that happen quite a lot, that people would put in these management positions or director positions, and suddenly they've got to go out and win work. And they found it really, really difficult because they'd never done that before. A sales environment, a business development environment, if you've never done that before and you're suddenly thrust into that, that can be a very, very stressful thing.
How coachable do you think accountants are?
Wow, that's a good question. I think it depends on the individual. Across the board, there are two types of individual. You know, there are people that kind of know what they know and they don't really want to know anything else. They don't think they need to. And there are those with a growth mindset that are constantly striving to better themselves, constantly striving to learn new things. And I think probably in any accountancy business, you probably got both types. And I think you need both types. But I think it really comes down to the individual.
So when an accountant or a similar professional comes to you for help, what kind of challenges do they have?
The principal challenge they have is that they know they want to make a move in the job market. And I focus principally at the executive level, so director level clients. So they know they want to make a move. Some have tried to make that move already. They're probably not very clear about what that next step looks like. They have probably been on some of these executive job boards, sent off online applications. They've tried to meet or have met with executive search firms, and they've kind of sat on somebody's database for a while, but nobody's called them back. So they're kind of stuck, and they're in pain because they know they need to make this move or they want to make this move, but they're not quite sure what to do. So I show them how really to manage their own recruitment process themselves, to decide on what it is they want, go out and engage with target employers, whether these employers happen to be advertising or not. In fact, it's better if they're not actually recruiting. So I kind of show them how to do their own business development, build a personal brand, and engage with people that they'd like to work for, if not now or in the future.
You have a unique methodology, don't you? Because you're not anti-recruitment, but you believe that a lot of the recruitment stuff out there doesn't work.
Yeah, so I say to my clients, there are three things you need to do. The first thing is you need to build good relationships with executive search firms. I pretty much say you can forget the job boards, because behind any job advert for a senior position, there's either a recruiter or an employer. So the first thing they need to do is to focus on the recruiter. Second thing is to go direct to target employers based on a clear definition of what it is they want. So they establish a niche in the marketplace. And then I have a special kind of individual that I call market makers. So market makers are well-connected individuals in a particular profession, industry, sector, or geography. And it's about building relationships with these people because they refer into the employers. So no, I'm not anti-recruiter at all. Got a lot of friends in the industry still. The problem in the recruitment industry is if you're a candidate and you apply to a recruitment firm, if that recruitment firm has a position for you right now, great. You're in a conversation, you're in a process. If they don't, then it can be quite difficult for the candidate because they have an expectation that they want to move now. And, you know, we all have this self-talk going on in our heads. You know, the recruiter hasn't called me back. That must mean I don't have the skills. I'm not a good candidate. It doesn't mean that at all. It just means that the recruiter at that time doesn't have a position for you. I also show people how to talk to executive recruiters properly, because I've interviewed hundreds of candidates over the years. If you don't talk to an executive recruiter properly, then you're not really going to be in their favor, and you're not going to crop up on their shortlist now, no matter how good you are. So it's about understanding their psychology and their motivations.
What, in your view, makes, particularly in the accounting world, a standout candidate?
Increasingly, particularly in the accounting profession, you know, the professional qualification and the professional skill set is kind of assumed. If you've qualified,
yeah, it's a given, isn't it?
Yeah, if you've qualified as an accountant, well, you know, you've got that rubber stamp, and it's expected that you would have that. But I think increasingly, it is about communication skills. You know, you hear about softer skills. You know, can you go out there and communicate with people who maybe don't understand finance as well as you in a way that they will understand what it is you're talking about? That's always been a challenge, I think, for accountants. Can you go out there and win business? You know, we're all in the sales business, yeah, at the end of the day. If you don't have clients, you don't have a business. And increasingly, I think there is more pressure put on accountants and senior executives in all businesses to go out there and network and to win more business.
Yeah. And that's not something that sits easily with a lot of accountants. You mentioned how, well, you didn't quite say it, but sales can be a dirty word for them, can't it? And they almost feel above that selling stuff.
I think as soon as you introduce the word selling, people start to get very nervous. And, you know, I do some coaching with my executive clients on networking, so going to networking events. And I reframe it. I don't call it selling. I tell them, you're not there to sell anything. All you're there to do is to have empowered conversations. And as soon as you take that pressure away from selling, because nobody likes being sold to and nobody really likes to sell, then suddenly they start to enjoy that networking environment. But yeah, I think, you know, traditionally, and I hate to stereotype, you know, accountants, have they been the best at selling and networking? Probably not. Can they do that? Absolutely. I believe anyone can do anything they wish to if they get the right training and have that growth mindset that I mentioned earlier.
Well, networking is the ultimate sell, isn't it? You're selling yourself.
Exactly. And I think that is part of the part of the challenge. Certainly for my executive clients, you know, they're very senior individuals. They've done great in their businesses, reached a very senior level. But as soon as they're out there in the market on their own, it's things happening to them and not their organization. So it's them putting their personal abilities on the line. And you are going to face rejection in business development. You'll face rejection in executive job search. You will face rejection before you achieve what it is you want to achieve. And people find that very, very difficult, because we don't like, as human beings, taking rejection. And we often make it mean something it's not. I believe it's just a step on the road to your ultimate destination, the destination you set out at the start, the destination which is success, however you define that.
Mm. Now, in the career world, the recruiting world, Sam, and there are things called the client-driven market and the candidate-driven market. Would you explain them and then talk about where we're at with the accounting world?
Yeah, okay. So candidate-driven market, client-driven market. Okay, so if there's lots and lots of candidates out there in the marketplace, the client has really got their pick. So it's client driven. You know, the client can take their time. The buyer is in control. In the accountancy profession, certainly once you get, you know, once you get past that qualification level, it has traditionally been a candidate driven market. What that means is, if as a recruiter back in the day, I had a candidate, I could probably place that candidate 5, 6, 7, 8 times over, because there was a shortage of candidates in the marketplace. And one of the reasons for that shortage, if you think back to the, you know, the financial crisis, a lot of the professional firms stopped hiring, stopped training. So the annual intake that they used to bring into the organization, they stopped doing it. And of course, the cost of that 3 or 4 years later is you don't have this flow through of newly qualified accountants and beyond. So I think the accountancy profession is still catching up. I think it's one of the reasons that the accountancy profession has now decided to take people perhaps without a university degree, people straight from school, just to broaden the number of people they have coming through their organization and to broaden the skill set to a certain extent.
Somebody said to me recently that there are more accountants dying and retiring than there are coming into the profession. If that is the case, that would definitely make it a candidate-driven market, wouldn't it? Because the best accountants would be few and far between.
Yeah, it would do. I think we're in a very interesting place at the moment in terms of technology and what that might mean for employment in the accountancy space. You know, this thing called blockchain, which people are talking about.
Explain that to us briefly, Sam.
I knew you were going to ask me that, and I regretted mentioning it.
It was a definition that would satisfy a five-year-old.
Okay. So the advent of blockchain, what you could see happen is a number of the things that a traditional accountant may do within an organization, you could see that being automated. That could happen automatically. So it will take out some of the workload, the day-to-day workload of an accountant. And I think there's a little bit of nervousness in the accountancy space due to automation, due to new technology, whether it's blockchain or something else. What you might see is less people coming into the accountancy space, but you might see them doing a very, very different job. And I think, you know, although you can have computer systems, you can have robots and whatever else, you can never take away that personal element and that personal trust that an accountant has with their clients, and that advisory stuff that you know is one of the principal jobs of a good accountant. So I kind of get what you're saying there. I think you're probably right. Is it going to be a major issue? I think with technology, probably not. I think we're going to see the role of accountants change quite drastically moving forwards.
So put your crystal ball on the table here. What do you think will happen over the next 3 to 5 years for the profession?
I think the profession is going to go through perhaps a consolidation. I think we have, you know, you've got the big firms, medium-sized firms, and a whole host of smaller firms. We will see a consolidation in the marketplace, a reduction in the number of firms out there due to technology and people finding it more difficult to compete. I think the firms that will be successful are the ones that recognize that the people element is still very, very important, and making sure that their people in their organization are personable, they have great communication skills, they're able to go out there and win the business that will still be available. And I think we'll see an increasing move to more advisory than kind of the traditional number crunching, you know, reporting type stuff. I think that's the bit that will get replaced by technology.
Yeah. So accountants are another executives that want to be employable, promotable. What kind of things should they be doing and what kind of qualities do they need to have?
Accountants, just like any other person in their careers, you know, get to a certain level and, you know, they want to advance their position. I tend to pick people up at the kind of manager transition to executive, or people who've been at a director executive level looking to make a move. And that could be either within the accountancy profession, so within their discipline, so CFO to CFO or financial controller to finance director. Or sometimes you see accountants wanting to make more of a move out of the profession. And one of the things you do see quite often is you see a finance director, a CFO, move into a managing director or a CEO position. And it's a more difficult move because the skill set for a CEO is quite different to the skill set for a CFO, although that window is narrowing, I think. But, you know, leadership skills, management skills, communication skills, being able to manage external stakeholders, and all of this kind of stuff. These are the really important skills that you need once you get past a certain level to advance in the accountancy profession or any profession, for that matter.
Do you see in being promotable the ability to win work and network and have that strong base of contacts? Is that a given now?
I think it's essential. I think it's always been there, but there's a bigger light shone on it now. Certainly when I was training in the profession, you would see additional pressure being put on managers and directors and partners in a firm to go out there and win more business. They were the business development arm of the organization. So I think it's essential. I think it is more in the spotlight. And I think, you know, people find it really, really difficult. Really, really difficult, because although they're representing the firm, they may find themselves on the phone talking to somebody that they don't really know, and they're having to talk about business and talk about their offering and how they might help. People find the phone very difficult. I'm an ex-recruiter. It's pretty easy for me, but majority of people find the phone very difficult because you don't have those body language cues. You know, sending people to a networking event, you know, people struggle at networking events because they lack the confidence, because they don't really understand what it's about. So I think it's essential. Those kinds of skills are essential moving forward.
What separates the good from the great accounting firms?
I think the great accounting firms have recognized the importance of their people to do more than just the accounting job. I think the great accounting firms invest heavily in training and development. You know, if you're in a business where you have people, they're your raw material. And in the accountancy profession, that's exactly what you have. But so many organizations don't invest in their people. And I think it's essential that you do that, because not everybody comes into your organization with all the skills. The world is changing, and you've got to have people changing with the world. So I think there's probably two things. Great accountancy firms recognize the importance of their people, and they invest in those people to get the best out of them.
Yeah, very good. So what should be the hiring policy for progressive firms that want to grow and stand out?
Well, I think, you know, the majority of people, if they have a certain academic ability, they can get an accountancy qualification. Okay, that's pretty much a given. You know, I got one. They were pretty tough exams. I'll be honest with you.
They don't give them away, do they?
They don't give them away. I mean, the way you take your exams now has changed slightly from my day, but they're still a tough set of exams, whichever professional qualification you take. But I think the hiring policy needs to be on more of those softer skills and more of this growth mindset stuff. I mean, I personally, in my business, I would rather hire somebody that was curious about the world, wanted to develop, was always looking at the next thing, or had their head above the parapet looking to see what was coming at their organization, than somebody who, you know, had got a qualification already, got some experience already, but was kind of head down and thought they didn't need to learn anything else. So I think growth mindset, the softer skills, that's really what it's about. And that's the big differentiator.
So are there any myths out there in the accounting world, or the job market, if you like, that are perpetrated that you'd like to smash apart right now, Simon?
One of the big myths that I do smash apart, and I have smashed apart with my business and the track record of my clients, is that if you are active in the job market, you can do everything yourself. You can decide what you want, whether it's advertised or not. You can go out there and find it, whether it's advertised or not. You don't need to go via third parties, via job boards or recruiters. You can absolutely do it yourself. You can create the future you want. And I think people get very frustrated sometimes. They're sat in the job market, the executive job market. They can't seem to make that next step, but it's because they're reliant on third parties. If they took control and took personal responsibility and adopted a very different strategy, that's absolutely possible. So that's one of the big myths that I've exposed. I know that from the recruitment space because I spent over 10 years in it. But unless you've done that, you may not know that. But there you go. There's the myth.
Have you seen much change in accounting firms in the way they grow and win business over the years?
I go to quite a lot of networking events. I run a business networking group here in the Midlands for quite some time. You will always find at networking events, you will find accountants there. Yeah, accountants. And what they normally do, what I see all the time, is they employ somebody as their business development director who doesn't necessarily have an accountancy qualification. And they send this person out to go and win business. And if you go to any networking event, you'll see lots of people doing this. That is how I think accountants traditionally view networking and business development. I think it's part of the picture. I personally would like to see, more of the partner level, the people running the firm going out and doing the business development because they understand the profession. They understand what the sector is all about. I think it's very hard as an accountancy firm to hire somebody to then send them out if they don't understand the industry and they've not worked in the industry previously. And I think to a certain extent, that's the firm saying we kind of know it's important, but we don't really want to do it. We'll just hire somebody and push them out there. And I think that's the wrong way forward. Smart accountancy firms now recognize that it's not just one person's job in the organization.
I was going to ask you, whose job is it to win work in a firm?
Everybody, because everyone's an advocate. Everyone's a representative of the firm when they're out there. If they know what questions to ask, if they can build relationships, everybody can win. Everybody can win business. I think the area where the accountancy profession struggle is in the online world. So, LinkedIn is massively important now. Before I do business with anybody, I check them out on LinkedIn. And it's amazing if you look at, some of the digital footprint of some of the accountancy firms. It's way behind where it should be. This is down to the website, communication on social media channels, actually not being on certain social media channels. And I think nowadays you have to think about where your target customer is. And if your target customer is on social media and on LinkedIn, you've got to be there. You've got to be there. Gone are the days of dragging people back to your website. It's about being where your customer is. So I think that's going to be a key thing for accountancy firms moving forward.
I'd love to get you on the show again, Simon, and look at the LinkedIn and the online stuff, because that's where you're absolute genius. It is a different landscape to 10, 20 years ago, isn't it?
Oh, completely, and it changes all the time. I mean, over the past 2 or 3 days, you will notice on your LinkedIn profile that there are changes now to how your profile looks, that LinkedIn hasn't announced. I've certainly not seen them announce it, but there are changes, and there will be more and more changes now LinkedIn is owned by Microsoft. So you've got to keep up to speed.
So this has been fantastic so far. Do you have a personal philosophy for success? I know you're an avid reader and learner. You're always looking out for stuff.
One of my favorite quotes, and it's on the wall in front of me here in my office, is by Leonardo da Vinci. And Leonardo da Vinci kind of inspired the name for my business, Career Codex. Codex is his book and the way he used to write stuff down and note-taking and this, that, and the other. He said, simplicity is the ultimate sophistication. In the world now, it's very easy to get bogged down in complexity, but knowing the two or three things that are most important and really focusing on those things, I think is critical to your success and keeping it simple. I watched a documentary on Netflix over the weekend. You're right, I like to learn stuff all the time. And it was Sir Alex Ferguson, who was in charge of Manchester United for many, many, many years. And he was doing an address at a business school in London. And he was saying, there's just two or three things you need to focus on. Don't overcomplicate things. And I think people believe that the more complicated it is, the better it is. The simpler it is, the better it is. And that's the ultimate sophistication.
I agree with you. I think it was Jack Welch that said that any idiot can make something more complicated.
Well, he's definitely right. Yes.
It takes a genius to simplify things.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Is there anything you believe deeply that other people think is a bit crazy?
I believe that whatever it is you want to do and wherever it is you want to get to, it's down to you and you can do it. One of the challenges I have in my business is communicating something that people find quite difficult to understand, because, you know, traditionally people will move jobs through applications online, executive search firms. And when I tell them, well, you know, you can actually create an opportunity for yourself that doesn't exist at the moment if you can position yourself in the right way, that can be quite a hard thing for them to get their head around. But you know, I've on a personal level, I've kind of reinvented my career two or three times. You know, it seems to be every 5 years I tend to do this thing. So I believe that you have total control of where you're headed. You just have to believe it and then get on with it. And I think beliefs impact your thoughts, impact your actions. And if you're not currently doing what it is you want to be doing and think you should be doing, I would come back to the beliefs about what it is, what's really going on inside your head. That to me is the most important thing, your beliefs.
Yeah. I can hear a lot of the accountants screaming at me to ask you this question before I let you go.
Go on then.
It's very delicate, isn't it? When you're looking for a move on, you're in an accounting firm, you don't want to upset the apple cart, you perhaps don't want people to know, you've got to be kind of discreet, and yet you've got to be putting yourself out there and having conversations. What's your advice there?
Okay, so that's a really good question. And quite a lot of the time when I bring new clients on, it's the question that they ask me because they're nervous. What if I suddenly start doing stuff on LinkedIn or suddenly going out to networking events? And yeah, that could pop up on somebody's radar in the firm to say, well, hang on a minute, this person is looking to move on. As a recruiter, one of the things we used to look for is increased activity on LinkedIn as a clue that somebody was on the move. Going back to one of the things I said earlier, my belief nowadays is that everybody should be involved in business development. And that means the smart firms know that their people should be on LinkedIn. They should be creating content on LinkedIn. They should be making connections on LinkedIn. They should be out and about networking. So really, you should be doing that anyway. And when it comes to your own personal executive job search, you'll be doing that anyway. And it's just a continuation. You have slightly different conversations, of course. So, you know, you may get quizzed about it if you suddenly start to increase your activity, but the smart firms know that you should be doing this anyway to build business for the firm you're currently working for. And the other thing to say is, you know, it's a natural progression. Nobody stays at the same firm forever nowadays. You know, people move on, and it's expected that people will move on, because when somebody moves on, somebody moves in and they bring new ideas, fresh ideas. So, you know, I think it's less of an issue than people make out.
Simon, this has been world class today. If people want to find out more about you and Career Codex, how might they get in touch?
Yeah, best thing to do is to go to careercodex.com. That's career and then CODEX.com. There's a contact form there that you can get in touch with me. The other way to do this is on LinkedIn. My LinkedIn username is Simon Gray. That's G-R-A-Y-A-C-A, my professional qualification, or FCA now, I should say, but it's Simon Gray A-C-A. And I respond to all of my messages personally. And any of the listeners today that have found value in this that would like to get in touch, it would be a pleasure to hear from them.
And what kind of things might they find when they get in touch? How do you help people?
So I'll have an initial conversation. I want to understand the challenge that people are facing, or the aspiration that they have. I believe people have, you know, they have challenges and aspirations, and I try and help on both sides of the fence. That could be to do with their executive job search, their career. I also do stuff in the non-executive director space. I have another business called Pembridge Gray, and I work with firms to help them think about their strategy and their positioning in the marketplace to get the best from the resources they have in their business and to grow. So I tend to focus in the recruitment space, the accountancy space, because it's the sector that I understand. So there's another avenue there. That's Pembridge, Pembridge, Gray, gray.co.uk.
Simon, that's been fantastic. Thank you so much for your time today.
My pleasure, Rob. Thank you very much.
You've been listening to Accounting Influencers, the podcast for accounting leaders and influencers who want to know exactly what makes the good firms great and the great accountants world class. For show notes on today's and other episodes, plus some great blogs and resources to help accountants lead, sell, and perform at the highest levels, go to bdacademy.pro. Until next time, have a fantastic day.